This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is Steve Sharippa, better known as Bobby Bacala, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
Absolutely try not to. Thank you, Steve, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show, and we thank you for joining us on this Monday, October 18th, 2021. Starting to feel like fall. A little chilly. Hope you're all doing well. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours.
That's right.
The other 20 and a half, that's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. No, they haven't cut short the show.
No.
They would never do that. They'd like to make it 6 hours if they
sure.
could.
They'd
like to make it 24 hours if they could. But we have a Ranger game. So Don has the Ranger pregame. Are you doing the game, Don?
No.
You had the pregame?
Yes.
Okay. So these are the two games you're missing out of the first 41, right?
I will be on the call Thursday and Saturday. So I
Beautiful.
Will have three of two of the next three. And then the next two after this.
Kenny really would have walked over hot coals from the Carolina just to get back for the game tonight. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's like air.
Yeah.
He needs it.
He needs it. He wants it. Peter, you have a good weekend?
Oh, I sure did.
Good. We would have asked you on the pre-show meeting, but you couldn't make it, but hope you're all right.
Well, I was doing a podcast that turned into an interview that I thought was going to be 15 minutes that turned into a very revealing, detailed, hour-long expose interview. It is what it is.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
I asked this during the meeting, and I'll ask you.
Go ahead.
I'm interviewing about not being on last night were the only words I understood. I don't know who Mr. C is.
You never watched Happy Days?
And by the way, we've talked about Mr. C on this show many times before.
Yeah, Don and I don't retain anything when it comes to wrestling. That's Don's brother.
Wrestling?
And then what was the
Mr. C has nothing to do with wrestling.
Right, oh, so this go. Was That's... this was a show last night. Gotcha.
Okay. And what was that show? What is that?
There was a Versus last night. I'm wearing the shirt right now.
Oh, you know what? But that's how they spell it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know that.
Big Daddy,
I didn't understand any of it. So
fix that.
That's on me. I'm not making fun of it or anything. I'm just saying that. Am I wrong not to understand?
Well, no. But
what
did I say?
Doing?
I said I'm talking to Mr. C about not being on the Versus last night. Ask Ryan because I knew Ryan could explain to you guys the significance.
Did. Yeah.
Sure.
But was he driving an Uber today?
No, he was
walking in the wind, so you couldn't hear him.
He was, and I'll tell you, Michael, you said starting to feel a little like fall. No. It felt like fall 2 weeks ago. Today it feels a little like winter.
The kids were swimming on Saturday, so I mean, let's.
Well, Saturday's where everything changed, though. Saturday was a different world.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was. You saw fall coming. It was like there was like a rainstorm at around like 4 or 5, depending on where you were in the tri-state area, and then everything changed after that.
Don, real quick, sorry, I am obsessed with this weekend. We've had an amazing fall so far. All of us would agree. September was awesome. Early
yes.
October was feeling fallish. Then all of a sudden, like the end of last week, Thursday into Friday and Saturday, it turned into summer again. And then Saturday, the rain came in. Summer ended, and now it said, no more, you've had enough fall, here's some winter vibes. And that's what Sunday and today have felt like, is like now you're getting into a real crisp New York fall.
Love crisp. I'm working on some things, guys. I just want you to know that. Sometime this week, our good buddies who we hung out with for the fight, Peter, Sharippa and Imperioli,
yeah,
will probably be on the show to pump their new Sopranos coffee table book.
Oh, wow.
So we think that could be fun. We'll talk to them about the Many Saints of Newark, what they thought. And I just got a text back from the wondrous Larry David asking if he'd like to come on before, Curb debuts this weekend. And Larry really went out on a limb and go, definitely would consider it. So we might have Larry David at some point.
Because we're going to need something because basically, unless the Knicks are playing, there's not much to say.
Oh, Lord.
So that's our jumping off point. Beautifully done, Don. Beautifully. The Giants really don't give you any hope. Any. I mean, I know the Rams are much better, but at least show up. At least don't give up 28 points in the second quarter. at least, you know, when Joe Judge said, let's see who really wants to play in the second half, and then it's a 14-12 second half. It's not exactly like they showed up.
When the Rams weren't playing anybody.
Yeah, the Rams weren't playing anybody. They took out their quarterback in a blowout, but Joe Judge didn't think it was worthy to take out his quarterback, who had suffered an unbelievable concussion the week before. Yeah. And I was all for starting him, but the doctors clear him. But, you know, Andrew Thomas was out with an ankle injury. The offensive line was a sieve. The guy was having a bad game. Why keep him in for the fourth quarter? But that's a small part of what's going on here. They're playing with no offensive talent. Tony looked great for the first drive, and then his ankle acted up again. He was out after that. Shepard kind of carried the load for a while, but they were playing with their fifth and sixth string wide receivers. They didn't have their starting running back. Daniel Jones was back, but, I mean, they look discombobulated. They look so totally overmatched. Now, I understand the Rams should overmatch them, but not to that extent where you get embarrassed at home. They're 1-5. You know, they're 1-5 for the fourth time in the last 5 years. So the 2 years of Joe Judge have started out at 1-5. And the thing that worries me, I wonder if you and Peter felt the same thing, Don. Mr. Tough Guy again on the post-game interview. Stop. I thought Dan Orlovsky had a really, really solid today where you can't play the tough guy when you're losing because you're going to lose the team. You got to come back to reality. I mean, even Tom Coughlin, who was on the field yesterday giving a rah-rah speech at halftime, even he realized at some point he had a change. You can't be Bill Belichick unless you win. Bill Belichick couldn't be Bill Belichick in Cleveland. That kind of attitude, that kind of like militaristic guidance, it doesn't work with teams that aren't winning. Well, we're going to see what we're made of. You know, we're going to climb up that hill, and then we're going to climb back down that hill, and then we're going to run through that wall. Stop. Something's wrong here. Something's not clicking.
Yeah. I mean, it would make for a good movie, right? Like all of these, it's like a submarine, and there's a hole in the submarine, and we got to patch it from the inside. Like nobody's going to come down and save us. We got to do it for – stop. All right. You're 1-5. The only language I speak wins and losses, okay? I don't need the big win one for the Gipper speech. I don't need all these great quotes and all these great analogies. It gets old. It also almost becomes an SNL bit. Like when you win and then you have a tough loss or you're going through some injuries and you've got some championships in your back pocket and you start giving those analogies. Well, that's how books are written, right? That's how movies, scripts are produced. But when you're 1-5 and 7-15 in your career as the head coach, after every loss, they just become SNL bits. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. It's like, all right, I stop with your stupid analogies. You're 1-5. And I don't want to hear about injuries either. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's hurting. Okay? Geno Smith's supposed to be the laughing stock of the NFL, and he came within a whisker of winning that game in overtime last night. Now, it was his fumble that cost him the game. But my point
is, still, he's on the road in Pittsburgh.
You're on the road in Pittsburgh, and it's 20-20 in overtime, all right? So you lose Wilson, and all of a sudden they're still competitive, and don't be surprised if they stay competitive for the rest of the season. I mean, everybody's got injuries. Everybody goes through it. But for some reason, the winning teams find a way to win, and the losing teams just continue to lose. You didn't belong on the same field with the Rams. First possession, march right down the field. And what happens? You get to the red zone, one of the worst red zone offenses, not just this year, but really over the last decade, have to settle for three. And then you get a couple of nice stops. Leonard Williams played well, but then it was just a matter of time before it all just came tumbling apart. 28 points in the second quarter. They called off the dogs. If they wanted to yesterday, honestly.
They would have put up 50.
They could have put up 52 points. Honestly, they would have scored two more touchdowns, won that game 52-11. And that would be it. And how about, you know, Giants calling timeouts, going for two? I mean, they're coaching and playing like the game means something because it's become exhibition because you're not competitive. In your own building again. Since the start of the 2017 season, I continue to harp on it, but I'm going to continue until it changes. They're 9-26 at home.
And 19-51 overall. That's the worst record in the NFL. Worse than the Jets over that span. 19-51.
And I got a message for everybody. And this comes from a Giant fan. All right, so don't pick on me thinking I'm some Jet fan or I'm coming from the outside. This is a self-inflicted wound for me to be able to say what I'm about to say.
All right.
Can we just stop treating this team like they're some sort of deity? And I don't want to name names. But all these people that, like, believe in this team, it's a ghost. The Mara thing is a figment of your imagination. All right? John Mara's not Wellington. And I'm not even sure Wellington was Wellington. This franchise is about two people, maybe three. But I'll take Parcells out of it because he was hired by George Young. It's about George Young and Ernie Accorsi. That's the Giants. Since the merger, that's the Giant organization. Those two people. And all of a sudden, Wellington Mara and John Mara, I know this is sacrilegious to Giant fans, are all, and Wellington belongs in the Hall of Fame and what he did for football and all that, being one of those original franchise owners with his dad, Tim, and all that. But honestly, the greatness of the Mara name comes from those two guys, those two hires. And oh, by the way, George Young, you know, Pete Rozelle had to twist arms to get that in.
Right.
And then Ernie Accorsi comes in. But since then, what are they? Stop it with they're not Lamar Hunt. They're not the Rooneys. They're the Rooneys. All they do with the Steelers is find ways to win. So, and I love them. They're great people and they're great football people. Can we stop treating the Giants like they're the New York Yankees and the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Celtics? They're not. Stop it already. They're a garbage organization right now. They can't get out of their own way. They can't hire coaches. They can't hire general managers. They're awful. They're just awful at football. Let's be honest. They're awful at football. And it's time that people recognize that and start making some changes. And you know what? Stop promoting from within and hiring general managers that used to work for the organization. Why? It's garbage. Change. Find an organization that knows how to do it and hire their people. That's what you should do. The Giant way, my ass. I'm tired of hearing about it. All right? And it's coming from a fan. What's the Giants way? Giants way is George Young and Ernie Accorsi. That's the Giants way. I'm not going back to Sam Huff and Rosie Brown, and I'm not doing that. I'm talking about since the merger, when it seemed like, right, Peter, when football started. Like, nobody wants to hear about back in the day when there's no face masks and leather helmets. I'm talking about the merger, the Super Bowl era. What have they done outside of those two general managers, and what have they done since? Nothing.
I mean,
9-26 at home. Worst record in football in that five-year span. Garbage.
Yeah, there's no more hanging on the rim. There's just not. And I've always wondered this, Don, and I brought this up to you, and I've even brought it up to John Mara. I mean, what point does Tish go, whoa, I'm providing the money for this, and there's nothing going on? When does he say, I want to have a bigger say in the football operations?
Hey.
And they say it's 50-50, but really the Mariners make the football decisions, and Tish signs off on it and signs checks.
Michael,
at some point, he's going to get disgusted.
Michael, and he's starting to feel the heat now, and he got booed during the Eli ceremony. But when are we going to start putting John Mara with the Jim Dolans and the Jeff Wilpons of the world? When is that going to happen? When? And why not? And why not? Why? Because he's a Mara? He's untouchable? Great man. I think he's salt of the earth. Love the guy. But what makes him good at football? How is he any different from all these other guys that inherited a team? Where's his resume? Where's his resume of decision-making? We'll see some pictures of some fallen garbage cans that he kicked them down. I understand he's frustrated. He's a fan. But when does he get put into that category, Michael, of guys that inherited greatness and are ruining it in front of your eyes? When? I think it's time.
Well, I think the fact that he's such a good guy and he's such a salt-of-the-earth guy and the family has been so great, I think that cuts him slack. But, you know, he has not made great – and, you know, in reading about the 10th anniversary of the last Super Bowl, you know, which they celebrated yesterday, it was interesting to me, Don, that there's frostiness between him and Coughlin. You know, Coughlin's really ticked off that he's the one who took the fall and not Jerry Reese.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you lose Tom Coughlin.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, given how things ended.
Yeah.
Coughlin didn't think it was time for him to go.
Yeah,
no,
and listen,
he didn't.
And everybody has got revisionist history. Let's go back to that time. I was one who thought it was time for a change, too. Things were not very good. How out of control Odell Beckham Jr. was in that fight with the Carolina Panthers. We all remember that. You know, so let's not all of a sudden start standing and saying that we weren't part of that group that thought it was time to move on from Tom. But looking back at it, it was a mistake because they haven't been able to replace him, have they? Look at the laundry list of guys.
Listen, one theme that we'll probably hear throughout the program today is just the wealth of football knowledge that I have and how that becomes clear every week. But one place that it's really starting to look true is the Joe Judge assessment. I'm sorry. Days like today when you hear him talk, guys, that was was that not exactly, Don, why I was so irate by his first press conference?
Yep.
That was it. I was like, this sounds like nothing. This sounds like yo-yo jargon that means nothing. And then again, over time, because he seemed like a likable dude who's made some nice, you know, had done some nice things as far as interpersonal relationships with the players, et cetera, and the way he doesn't treat the media badly, you know, he ends up seeming likable. But then you're starting to think now he really is just sort of a factory of cliches.
Well, and I didn't mind it, Peter, because maybe that's who he is. I just didn't want him to come in here and pretend to be somebody that he wasn't. But I just want to judge them on coaching. Just win games. Coach it up.
So yeah, the coaching's been bad. Graham was awful. I mean, the defense has been dreadful.
That's a problem when Graham calls out the team during the week.
And then they don't respond.
And that's how they respond? So, listen, he had a great year last year. Hey, but that's 1 year. Well, what's sports, Michael? Whether you're a player, whether you're a coach, it's about finding consistency. I guess anybody can put together a nice season, but then can you follow it up? And you follow it up with this. Now I got to think that whole defense was built was fraudulently, and that's all that we've seen for the last decade. Heck, that 2016 team was a hollow 11-5.
And think about that, Don. Think about that. I don't think Joe Judge is in any danger, and I don't think he should be in the second year. I'm not a big believer in that. But I will tell you this. Ben McAdoo made the playoffs his first year and got fired before the second year was over. Well, Joe Judge is 7-15, didn't make the playoffs last year. Didn't make it. And now there's more problems. And nobody whispers about anybody. I think Ben McAdoo got in trouble with the Eli Manning fiasco.
Yeah, I think
that's which might have come from up top.
But and Shurmur would have been a better hire as the offensive coordinator than the head coach. And so far, Joe Judge, in a year and a half, has won 7 games.
It's not good. This team spent a lot of money to get better, not to be 1-5 again. And I love when Joe hangs his hat on, you know, we're a 60-minute team. Well, every team should be. That should never be celebrated. It bothers me in every single sport. You know, they play hard till the last, you know, the last second or the last inning. So what? That's what you're supposed to do. Don't celebrate it. Don't talk about it. That's something that should be a done deal at the beginning of every single game. You're going to play hard for the entire game, whether you get blown out or not. I'm going to look at the tape to see who didn't play hard. Even if they played hard, they stunk. And then the thing that gets covered up by the fact that it's another loss, Daniel Jones did the huge slide back. Turnovers, 4 turnovers, 3 interceptions, 1 fumble. 1 fumble was recovered.
Yeah,
come on. Something's got to change.
And I don't want to get crazy on one game. He's had a good season, all right? And I'm willing to chalk up for him 1 bad game. But everybody else, it's been 1 bad season so far. And the problem is Joe Judge and Daniel Jones become collateral damage, right? Because at the end of the day, if they're going to blow this thing up, I think those guys are probably gone. New general manager is probably going to want to draft his own quarterback, right? Hire his own head coach. So we could sit here and analyze Joe Judge and Daniel Jones. What are the odds that they're going to come back? What are the odds after another 5 or 4 or 6 win season, are they going to give the money to Jones and sign him to a long-term contract? Are you going to commit to Joe Judge long-term? Based off of what?
Yeah, he's got to show something. He's got to show, and you would think that Gettleman's time is over. You know, Peter King and his Monday morning quarterback said they've got to get a young, innovative GM, and this is his words, not Don's. He said, not a GM who's ever going to pick a running back with the second pick in the draft. So no, that's where we are right now, and the Giants continue. They don't just lose. They get embarrassed.
Well, it's not.
That was embarrassing yesterday.
It's as they are as bad as any bad franchise in sports, period. And I don't care the tradition, because we talk about it with the Yankees, Michael. What does it mean? All right?
We joke about the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have the same amount of wins as the Giants.
Right. So, but when you're trying to convert on a fourth down, when you're trying to score a touchdown in the red zone, invoking the ghosts of Sam Huff and Y.A. Tittle, don't get anything done. All right? You know, the Yankees aren't winning wild card games because they're able to trot the ghost of Babe Ruth out. You get judged on what you are right now. and you think of all the lousy franchises that we've seen, you know, the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. How are the Giants any different than them? And the same thing with the Jets. Oh, they're a circus. They have no idea what they're doing. You're right there with them, too. Who cares about history? How's history going to help you in the now? And right now, what cares about history? I'm looking to get off the field on third down. I'm looking to convert on third down. I'm looking to score some points. I'm looking to win some games. I don't want the only thing to look forward to is the celebrating the anniversary of a championship team, which I still think 10 years is a joke. I mean, give me a break. It was a blink of an eye, maybe because I'm an old man now. But 10 years, really? But what does it matter anyway? Because the only people that get to celebrate that are the people that go to the game. They don't show it on television. But that's all I have to look forward to is Strahan's retirement number coming up later on this year, the anniversary of the next Super Bowl team. 10 years of really just nothing. Nothing.
Dreadful football.
And yet you walk around like the flagship franchise of the sport. Yeah, that's in some dusty book someplace sitting on a shelf. You get judged on what you are now. And the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals, you know what? They're finding ways to win games. They're rebuilding their teams. They've got good quarterbacks. They're moving in the right direction. So does it matter that Cleveland is an awful team back in the day? No, right now, you know, maybe not yesterday, but right now they're a team that can compete to go to the playoffs. Who cares? All right, the Buffalo Bills were garbage for 30 years. Does that matter anymore now that they got an MVP caliber quarterback? It's 2021, guys. Let's wake up.
Yeah, this has not been a good football decade here in New York. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, we're going to take your phone calls. A lot of people want to react. But, Peter, I've got to ask you a very personal question. And please don't be offended by it. And just take it in the manner in which I present it. You ready?
Yeah.
Are you short on money? I mean, is there a problem? Because today, on DiPietro and Rothenberg, RJ said there's still been no wedding gift. Are you short on money? I mean, I'll step up. I'll send the check to RJ if you want.
This, I'm upset by the distraction that you're falling for here. The kind of damage that I'm doing in the picks, specifically to what I did to Dave Rothenberg yesterday, not only did he attack my three-point pick, but then I went with Don's Giants pick right up and in on him and crushed him again. And I hope later, Anthony, did you cut the audio from last week where I said, promise me if we destroy Dave, we can replay this? Do you remember that, Don?
No, sure.
Yes, I remember, but you're still not answering my question. So Are you short on cash?
I just hope we'll get to live through that. If you want to take all the fun out of it because you guys can't resist – No, I actually have already sent the gift, and I'm a little concerned that he hasn't received it because it has been sent.
The font on Yes right now says Peter still has not given RJ a wedding gift.
Yes,
that was said today on the show.
God.
I understand that. I texted RJ and said, is this true? He said it is true. And I said, well, if you don't receive it very shortly, we have some problems because it has definitely been sent to the correct address. I believe a strong to quite strong gift. And that's it. Now can we focus on what matters? Dave being embarrassed in front of his listenership and him and Rick changing the subject to distract the audience and then you buy into it? Don, you know this what? Is my teammate?
That Peter's right. That's classic deflection.
From him or me?
You got suckered into it thinking that was a legitimate bit.
That was all distraction.
Let's
be real. Dave came on the air with us, told me he hated my Cardinals pick, and he went the opposite way, right? They went Cleveland?
Yeah.
They went Cleveland. I went Arizona 3 points. Don, how'd that game turn out?
Oh, it didn't turn out well.
Yeah,
but
Arizona.
Peter, don't hang on the rim over the 3-point pick. That was a horseshoe pick right up your backside. I mean, really. The best you were going to get was a point and a half, and they end up scoring that touchdown.
No, you're confusing games.
No, the 3-point game that you had.
Oh, sorry,
was the Dallas game.
Sorry, I apologize. My 2-point game.
That's right.
I apologize. My 2-point Arizona game. So Dave was dead wrong on that, and he made a point of telling me how stupid I was for picking Arizona. then followed that up when I said, we're going to go with the Rams to cover against your Giants. He told us that was a horrible pick, and he probably wasn't going to touch the game, but if he did, he would bet the Giants. Don, isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. And
well, I'm here too. I heard it, yes.
All right. Well, you're the one who's now focused on him talking about RJ's gift.
But you still he still doesn't have the gift, the poor guy.
The gift has been sent, God willing. If not, we'll talk to, we'll start talking to Mailman.
This is why, if for whatever convenience it was not to give him that day, not having to
Don.
Walk around with a card or whatever. Now we're wondering, did he get lost in the mail? What's happening? If he just were a human being and did like everybody else and brought a card with a check and handed it to him the day of, none of this would have happened.
None of it would have happened. You know what? You know what? Rick DiPietro just texted me, and he puts it very well, Don. God forbid the vintage wrestling T-shirt he sent to RJ gets lost in the mail.
You are slurping on it.
I did not send him a vintage wrestling T-shirt. That wouldn't be RJ's cup of tea, and that's not the kind of friend I am. Rick, I see the kind of friend you are. Someone who, you know what? You're a better teammate than Michael. I'll say that, because at least you help Dave distract. You know?
DiPietro. Distract what?
Distract from the embarrassment of Dave getting on the air today, being a supposed prognosticator, and getting shown up by me, Mr. No-Knowledge Football Man, who just destroyed him. I mean, I should be said I also destroyed you guys this weekend, but still, destroyed Dave.
Well, I got to tell you, we'll get into it later, but that Patriot-Cowboy game.
I never doubted it for a second.
Oh, you did so? You're a liar.
Well, first of all, when you really look at, and again, I'll take the loss, because I even told you, I'm not picking it as a football fan, I'm picking it as a gambler. Ended up being a really good pick. I got it right, because everybody who picked the Cowboys, oh, the Cowboys are so much better. They're going to so easily cover this number. This is ridiculous. And it took overtime to do it. So I got it right. That game ended up being close. I got it wrong as far as the pick. But you know what I'm saying, Mike.
You know what, Don? You know what, Don? You would do it again. I understand.
I would do it again, because it's amazing. And again, twice getting killed this week. I would have 6 points. I would have been 3-0 if not for 2-point conversions. Because if the Patriots don't get the 2-point conversion, then the Cowboys kick the field goal and win the game instead of sending it to overtime.
It was special.
Let's take a brief timeout. A lot of things to consider. I mean, what an opening by Don. What a broadside shot by DiPietro and Rothenberg about Peter. Peter with an unbelievable return scud missile. A lot of stuff going on.
Haymakers being landed here.
We have Kemba Walker at 4 o'clock.
Damn
We've
right.
We've got the Hall of Famer Steve Young at 5 o'clock. We've got ENN at 6 o'clock. We got a show. You have to be here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Again, at the truth, the
money never lie. No, well, this portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by the Pepe Auto Group. Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Let's go to the phones. A lot to say about the Giants, and here's Tom in Ridgefield Park to start it off. Tommy.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Great.
You and Don are spot on. Great. You and Don are spot on. I want to know, how could 11 defensive men on the field, coaches on the sideline, coaches up in the press box, allow a man, a gunner for the Rams to be uncovered on that fake punt, and only the penalty? Now, he wants to be Bill Belichick? That would have never happened on the Bill Belichick team.
But, Tom, think about this. I don't know if anybody else noticed it. I tweeted it at the time. Just before the camera broke back to the field, you see Joe Judge say, watch the fake, watch the fake. He's screaming, watch the fake. And so,
but
is it special
team? How is that man uncovered?
It's unreal. Like so he knew they were going to fake. He's screaming to the players, and they still converted. And by the grace of God, there was the coincidental penalties, which erased the play. Otherwise, they would have had a first down. That's what a joke it was.
And his press conferences. Yeah, he's got to look at the tape. Look at the tape. Well, let's have the press conference then after the next day then and say, you looked at the tape. Where's the improvement? Where are the faults? That Rams, they've pointed out every weakness in that Giants offensive line. And how many years are we going to have to listen to? We need to improve the offensive line. I don't care if you got Jim Brown back there. He's not more, he's not hitting any kind of hole in that offensive line.
Hey. Yeah, there's so many problems. That's the thing, Tom. There's so many problems that it's hard to put your finger in all the leaks. It just is.
And didn't it look to me, because I'm sure you were on that game too, Peter, I think the Rams could have been had by a good team yesterday. I don't think the Rams played great.
Well, consider the letdown factor, Don, and their body clock was at 10 in the morning. You shouldn't beat up on an East Coast team like that if you're a West Coast team. I'm not saying they shouldn't have won.
Well, and they made mistakes too.
Yeah. He wasn't happy.
No. So they could have been had, and you saw the first drive, and I thought the Giants played well early, but just then eventually the same silly mistakes. Think about it. We see mistakes. What do we see, right? We see penalties. We see turnovers. But can you imagine the mistakes that we don't see that lead to all of these great plays from the other team? They're just not a good football team at all. And that's why I laugh when we're banged up. We got to stop. You think Saquon would have made a difference in that game? And they can't. They finally get a pick when the game was pretty much over, but they can't hold on to picks when the game's still competitive. Ugh.
Here is Rex Ryan. He was on with DiPietro and Rothenberg this morning, and he says the problem could be Joe Judge.
Why do you guys give this guy a pass? That's what I couldn't understand it. Look, you hire a guy that is a special teams guy, and he convinces you that he deals with the entire roster and all that. It's not true. Special team coaches deal with the bottom half of the roster, all right? And those are easy guys to coach. They're just happy to be on a football team. It's different than being a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator where you're handling the top end of the roster as well as, you know, the bottom end guys as well. So that's why you don't see that many special team coaches in the league. Now, look, however, they've been some great ones. You know, I recommended John Harbaugh to the Ravens. He's a great football coach, all right? I coached with him in college, and he's different. But some of the guys that are special team guys, man, they don't make it.
Now, Keyshawn, on his show, KJM, he also said that Judge might be the problem.
I don't know that Dave Gettleman is the problem. I just don't know that. The coaching sucks. He's not coaching.
He hired the coach.
I get that he hired the coach, but when I interviewed you and hired you, you told me something different. You told me you're going to fall in line, you're going to do all the right things.
What didn't you? What?
Well, hold on. That's just what you tell me. Yeah. Now I go away for a couple weeks and I come back and I find out you're not doing everything you said. That's the same thing Joe Judge did. He hired him. He's going to do the right thing. And then you got a quarterback like Jay saying, trying to sneak the damn ball on 14 inches, got no push at all whatsoever, coming off concussion protocol. That's a coach. That ain't got nothing to do with the general manager. The coach called that damn play and approved that play.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad they brought that up. That was ridiculous. This guy had a head injury last week. So again, he's been cleared. But you're always more susceptible to another head injury when you're coming off a head injury. And they had him try to sneak the ball twice, Don. Twice. That's the best play they came up with.
That's the plan. You know, like they felt like he was ready to play. And they were going to go as if the concussion never happened. And then he goes out and plays the worst game of the year and stays in the game after it's already decided. And on top of that, they're calling timeouts to try to get the ball back. They obviously didn't think there was any issue with him whatsoever. Zero.
Did you guys, watching him play, did it look like he was fully good to you guys?
Listen, if doctors clear him, maybe when he got hit early and he fumbled and they recovered, maybe that spooked him. I'm not sure, but I'm sure he was fine.
But he was awful. The interceptions were,
You know, Aaron Donald will do that to you.
My guess, maybe it was just that.
Dan Orlovsky was on Greeny, and he said the players are going to tune out Judge real soon.
And when you have as this coach this mindset of you're going to do it my way, 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 and I'm talking at you and talking at you and talking at you as a grown adult instead of talking with you and with you, eventually players just get sick and tired of that. And you, as a coach trying to depict being so tough, I've played in situations like this when the coach tries to be this super rah-rah tough guy, you know, they grind on you and the losses happen. Players don't like that. Mm. And to be down 38-3 when basically everybody on your football team is hurt, on your offense, Saquon's not in there, and Galladay wasn't in there, and Tony's not in there, and everybody on your offense is down. Daniel Jones got knocked out of the game last week, and it's 38-3, and you still have him in the game taking hits, and I'm sitting there going, well, this is stupid. It's stupid. And when you're that Timmy Toughnut coach, and your losses are happening, and you're doing stupid stuff, eventually players are going to start to turn you out, and it happens fast.
Yeah.
They just tune you out.
There you have it. So certainly not ringing reviews for Joe Judge. They look kind of lost. They really do now. Is it a lack of talent? Now, obviously, a lot of talent is not playing. I get it. And when Tony went down, a big part of their offensive plan went down with him. But they weren't beating the Rams. They weren't. But they shouldn't have been embarrassed by the Rams. They got embarrassed. They got schooled.
Maybe I'm wrong, guys, but I just think judging Judge, no pun intended, is ridiculous. Now, he's gone. If they're going to get rid of Gettleman and they're blowing this thing up, he's going to be collateral damage anyway. So whether you're a fan of him or not, he's going to be gone. There has not been the body of work here, or will not be at the end of the 2 years, where anybody's going to twitch themselves into a pretzel to bring him back. So he's gone. It's over. That coaching staff, new GM, I just hope they make the right decisions. I hope John Mara makes the right decisions, because nobody deserves to come back. That's what they finally have to do. They were hesitant to do it under Eli. They kind of did it when they went to Daniel Jones this rebuild, but then went right back to spending a bunch of free agent money thinking that they could win now. It's time to really reset, and that means everybody's gone, including the decision makers, everybody. And I mean everybody. I honestly don't know if there's anybody within that organization now that you could say deserves a job moving forward, anyone, because they all have to have their fingerprints all over this. From Abrams, Gettleman, Judge, Garrett, Graham, all of them. They're all culpable in what's happened with this franchise. And I think if you want a really fresh reset, goodbye, all gone.
Let's take a brief timeout, towel off, take more of your phone calls. We have Kemba Walker on at 4. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you starting off a week on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Check it out now.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Some sad news. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Dick Vitale has cancer after beating cancer. I guess the first time he beat melanoma. And now he wasn't feeling well and got tested. Several tests came back that he has lymphoma. Mm. So he's going to have to go a battery of chemo and a lot of different things. He said there's a 97% cure rate, a 90% cure rate. So he's going to battle as best that he can. He's 82 years old. This guy is such a force of life. That if it can be beaten, I know that he will beat it, and all three of us send our love and support his way. He is a different bird. The amount of work that this man has done for childhood cancer and the amount of money that he has raised, it's just absolutely astonishing. And send good vibes his way. He's a really good man.
Good guy, Jersey guy. It's hard not to think about college basketball and not have him spring to mind. Just his enthusiasm for it, right?
Dickie V may be as synonymous with his sport as almost any broadcaster or journalist is associated with any sport ever.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he released a statement to treat the lymphoma, steroids, and 6 months of chemo. Medical experts tell me he has a 90% cure rate. And they say I can continue to work. So I'll have to manage my work schedule around my chemo schedule as they will monitor my test results along the way. So please send good thoughts his way. He's a good man. Good man. He's done great work for youngsters. So that's important as well. Peter, I got to tip my cap to you, my friend.
Okay.
You look like you're running away with the picks segment.
No.
Don's having an awful year. I'm having almost as bad. And you're proving at this point that last year was not really the fluke that most of the masses thought it was. So,
well, I don't know if most of the masses thought it, but you certainly did. What's the actual scoring right now?
You're up by a lot.
I think you're up.
I have it right here. You have 22 points. I have 17. Don has 13.5. You're 11-6-1.
I mean, I hope people have been betting with me the first half of the year. That's real money.
I'm 9-9, and Don is 7-10-1. But I will throw a little bit of a fly into the ointment here, and I think Don will back me up. Come on, that Patriot-Cowboy game. Come on.
Listen.
I got that right. I'm taking that as a personal win.
I was walking into the Versus last night at Barclays Center, the KRS-One Big Daddy Kane Versus, and I'm watching the game on my phone, and it's 21-20, and Dallas lines up for the field goal to kill me, right?
Right.
To go up 23-21 and just kill me. It was so frustrating, too, because Dak had come up short on that third down scramble. I was hoping, of course, they'd go for it on fourth and try to score the touchdown.
Yeah.
No, they pull up for the field goal, missed the field goal. So now the ball is going back to New England with, I believe, Don, around 3.5 minutes left.
Yes.
And I'm like, all right, well, this is one way or another. Either they're going to lose 21-20 or they're going to end up winning 23-21. But in all likelihood, that's it for me. 20 minutes pass. I had to go through security, show my vaccine card, do everything. I make it to the 40-40 club in the Barclays Center. I pull out my phone to check the score, and it says it's tied 29-all in overtime. Don, my head almost exploded.
Well, I was going through the same up and down. So, you know, they get the pick six. You got to be kidding, because I'm set up. I'm set up. I feel like I'm in great shape here.
You're good to go.
I'm good. I'm gonna get 1 point, but more importantly, Peter's not gonna get his three.
Yeah, that was the one to root for. We had to take him off his three.
Right.
If we get pushes.
The pick six. All right, I'm dead because the Patriots aren't gonna march down the field. They march down the field, unfortunately, too quick. All right, but that's all right. Get the touchdown, and rightly so, they go for the 2-point conversion. I'm gold, Jerry.
Gold.
If they don't get the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
But they get the 2-point conversion, because if they don't get that, then the Cowboys' kick at the end would have won the game 29-28. But now they kick the field goal, now you go to overtime. All right. I don't feel great about it, because now I got to outwardly root for the Patriots to win the game. Because I don't want to get a push. I don't want a half
push.
A point.
Who wants a push?
And I don't want Peter to get a point and a half, because they'd gain a point on me. And they win the toss, but they don't score, and then that's it. But it was just a back and forth. But really, Cowboys had a couple of bad turnovers early. They did not play well. So they could have very easily have blown the Patriots out, but they hung in there. And that's why anybody that bets needs to get their head examined. Seriously, I'm stressing over stupid points when we haven't even confirmed what we're going to do yet when we lose.
Yeah, we have.
What are we doing? I'm getting pegged.
You're getting pegged. I'm dyeing my hair red, and Peter's growing his hair out.
Yeah.
I don't even know that I'd agree to that, but okay.
Yeah, let's see. That's what I'm talking about.
Now, Peter and I both got fooled by the Chargers. What happened to them? The Ravens just beat them up. I had a beautiful pick on 2 points, the Packers over the Bears. And,
beautiful
pick. Aaron Rodgers said, I own you guys. Peter with a good pick, the Cardinals over the Browns, and that was against the DiPietro and Rothenberg pick, which made it even sweeter. Don lost on Thursday, then lost the Patriot game, but did get – you had the three-pointer, right? The Rams.
Yeah, that I had.
That was beautiful. And that was also the TMKS pick. So we lead Rick and Dave. 3-3, they're 2-4. A lot of things happen.
Oh.
A lot of things happen. It's an exciting time to be alive. It really is.
It was also a little
– Talk to me. What's up?
It's tough to watch the Cowboys win. They're a really good team.
Yeah. Even when they don't play well and make mistakes, they still win.
But they're showing – they show the graphic of – I forget how they fonted it. I don't know if you saw it, Peter. I know you were traveling. Michael, I don't know if you watched.
I did.
There's something like excellence, like ownership of excellence or some garbage, and they show Kraft with his 6 rings and then Jimmy with his 3. Give me a break with excellence, all right?
Jerry?
I haven't won a championship in 25 years, Jones. Yeah, stop.
Don't call him Jimmy Jones.
Well, no, it should, because it's really Jimmy Johnson got him the 3 rings that he does have.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame makes me sick. And it's not even jealousy. What am I jealous of? They haven't won in 25 years.
Well, but he belongs in the Hall of Fame for what he's done for them financially,
with
the NFL financially.
That was not built by him. He bought it. Big deal. He had money.
Okay, but he bought it at $185 million.
Oh,
you couldn't buy it now for $5 billion.
Oh, Peter, help me out here.
No, he built that beautiful stadium.
Anybody, stop it. You buy a team in 1989, all these franchises, you buy a team, and now what it's worth. But that star was built. See, that's the thing about the Cowboys, all right? That was built by Tex Schramm. That was built by Gil Brandt. That was built by Tom Landry.
Your
that
hatred
whole,
for him,
the star and everything
what?
Else. That
your
was
hatred
built.
Of him is irrational.
No, because, no Cowboys.
No, come on. It's not certainly not irrational. Everyone hates him.
Oh, but wait a second. Okay, so he hasn't won a Super Bowl in forever, but that stadium he built is the best stadium in the world.
So he's got a bunch of money. So he's in the Hall of Fame. Bought his way into the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
what did he do? What did he do?
He's done a lot for the NFL.
So they get all the ratings. The Cowboys get the Cowboys own TV, right? Like all the great ratings come from the Cowboys because they get a super fan base. Does he have anything to do with that?
Well, you know what? They were pretty down in the dumps when he took over. They've
seen
better
days. Jimmy Johnson, and then he got too jealous that Jimmy got the credit, cut him
loose.
Who
hired
Jimmy
Johnson? Who hired a college coach? Who saw it? He did.
He also, stop.
Come on.
So that's it. You put him in the Hall of Fame for one good
hire.
No. I'm not backing down. I'm really surprised that your nose is so up far as rectum. Who cares? Nobody likes the guy. You're the only guy that likes him because you sniff the money. Money doesn't mean anything to me. The guy's got zero ability to run a football team. He's a clown.
But stop it.
And he rummages through his nose on live television. Stop it. I'm not going to kiss his fanny. Give me
I'm
a break. Peter,
I'm
support. Show me some
fanny.
Support here. The guy's a clown shoe.
Listen, I agree. He's an absolute clown. I was with you 100%, but then you kind of help Michael's argument. Because when you start talking about the hires, Michael does make the point that hiring Jimmy and you get those three Super Bowls. And then the fact is they had the run of popularity with Staubach, but they had the second run. It is that early 90s run that now has doubled their fan base and made them bigger.
No, the fan base is always going to replenish itself once it starts getting good again. All right? Because it's the Cowboys. That's a brand, that star, the cheerleaders, everything. All right? God's team, America's team. But he hires Jimmy Johnson. Good hire. Okay, yeah, all right. Golf applause. Okay, hires Jimmy Johnson. Then he can't stand the fact that Jimmy gets the credit, lets him go, and then what? And then what? Just an ordinary franchise. Now they're good again, but sorry. The fact that he's in a Hall of Fame makes me sick.
Who would you rather have as your owner, Don? John Mara or Jimmy Jerry
I don't know.
Jones?
I think
you
Jerry
gotta
Jones
pick
is
one.
A horrible human being. I wouldn't want him anywhere.
I don't say
franchise.
About
nowhere
the type.
Near.
First of all,
nowhere
you don't know what type
friend.
Of human being is.
At least John,
who would
at least
you
John Mara's
owner?
A good person.
Who would you want as
John
your
Mara.
Owner?
John Mara.
Who is the better team now?
I don't care. I think Jerry Jones is awful. Awful human being.
What he did to Dan Reeves.
Fired Dan Reeves for like no reason. Dan Reeves, a good salt of the earth guy, fires him for no reason. No, I don't have to sell my soul and like this guy because he wins, and let's see him win. Let's see him win. We've been hearing about this big bad Cowboy team's going to finally win a Super Bowl. Let's see it happen.
That is fair, Michael. He talks every year. A lot of talk, a lot of chatter from Jerry. Not a lot of wins over the last.
All
few years.
I know is I had him on center stage. He was a gentleman.
But you know what? I'm going to expose Michael for the absolute garbage fraud that he is wearing a bulletproof jacket on Monday television here today. Is because he reached out to the Yankees and they shared notes on building the stadiums together and stuff. So and Jerry goes to Yankee games sometimes. Yes.
What does that mean?
You're a clown for supporting him. Oh, listen, and you could be neutral. But your love for him comes from no. Am I irrational? Am I a piece of garbage for hating him? Yeah, I'll admit it. But at least I'm firing reasons. You love the guy, and no one knows why.
I don't love the guy, but I think that your hate is irrational. What I'm saying is you don't put any import into the money that he's made the NFL. He's increased the visibility of the NFL, sponsorships and things like that, building an unbelievable stadium when nobody else could do it.
They hated him
the stadium,
because
the
he
Jets
was
and,
making all these deals
the Jets
behind
and
their
the Jets. But you know what? It ended up making all of them money.
I know, but it's all was built by good people. Gil Brandt, Tex Schramm. Tom Landry, good people, built that's what the Cowboys are, all right? I know I'm an old man, and all these young guys will say, no, and all started with Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith. No, before that, they were America's team playing on Monday Night Football, making tons of money, and having fans all over God's green earth because of what those guys built. And he just happened to have the money to buy it.
And he's just as fat hands as John Mara is. And how has it worked out so far?
Well, he has a pretty competitive team. They haven't been able to win.
Yeah, and I didn't realize pretty competitive puts you in the Hall of Fame. But the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame sickens me.
He has 3 Super Bowls.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, I see.
Wow, you're amazing.
No, I didn't know. So, yeah, that's right. He won those 3, and that's all it takes. Now you go into the Hall of Fame, sure.
And he built an empire.
Right. Jim Plunkett's because got 2. Can't get a sniff.
Has increased the value
built
of
by
all
actual
their
human beings.
They all kiss his butt. So Robert Kraft's a great human being? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that.
These are all billionaires.
Robert Kraft into the conversation? Plus, he's doubled the amount of championships that Jerry has. But they both have the same kind of thing. He's only done it with one coach. He only did it with one quarterback. But I don't know what makes Robert Kraft a god either. But I'm not talking about Robert Kraft. I'm talking about, you said he built. He didn't build nothing.
He did. He hired Jimmy Johnson.
Peter, the Yankees haven't won since 2009, right?
Okay.
So let's say now that Hal decides to sell.
Right.
And Yo-Yo Bumchuck buys it.
Right.
And Yo-Yo Bumchuck, all of a sudden the Yankees win 4 championships in 5 years. Oh, well, and the Yankees are this unbelievable team, and they're selling out the building, and it's the New York Yankees. Would Yo-Yo Bumchuck be able to say, look what I built? No. He wouldn't be able to say, well, look what I built. Look what I bought. That's what he'd say. Look what I bought.
But he's not taking over an organization that's at rock bottom. When Jerry Jones bought the team, they were nothing. Listen to what Peter said. They dropped to rock bottom.
Well, they were bad. Then he hired Jimmy Johnson.
Right, which was a pretty good
forward-thinking move. They did pretty good. They won 3
championships. No other NFL team hired him.
And they won 3 championships or whatever. I guess it's 2 championships with Jimmy. And then, you know, Barry came in. They pointed him in the right direction, won another Super Bowl. So I don't even think he knew where he was half the time. And he just didn't touch anything that Jimmy did. Those were Jimmy Johnson's championships.
All right, can we take a break now? Because
if you admit to me you're wrong.
I will not admit anything that I'm wrong. I think I'm dead right.
Dead right about what?
About everything.
He built nothing.
About everything.
Oh, he built my ass.
Again, he's using that word, so Peter, twice today.
That's right. Twice. I'll do it. Keep it up. I'll use it again.
Hey, Peter, do you have Klieg lights on you today? You're like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
I gotta close my blinds. I was just told that this room lit up really bright for some reason.
Oh, my goodness. You look washed out and sick.
And I don't know if you noticed, Michael, watching the games yesterday, whenever they show, like, the sideline camera, especially during the Cowboy-Patriot game, like, after a touchdown, they have the close-up of the field, that's Peter's camera. Like, that's how Peter looks.
No.
Not today.
No, seriously.
Can we take a break, please, before you comment, Peter?
Listen, if you feel like you have to.
Kay, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you know this. 98.7 ESPN is giving away up to $2,000 every week of the football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in, so get your bets ready. Be listening in the 5 p.m. hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show, only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. I want to read this tweet from Buster Only.
Sure.
The Mets have known for months that they would need someone as the head of baseball ops, and for at least 6 weeks or so that they would need a manager. Now it's the third week of October, and they apparently still aren't close to filling those spots. It's a bad look, man. It's really a bad look.
No, it's awful. Because they got, you know, and it's not like it's an unimportant offseason for them.
No, it's huge.
It's huge. You need a coach. You need a manager. You've got to decide what you're going to do with Syndergaard and Baez, and there's so much improvement for a team that finished under 500. Forget about 90 days in first place. It's how you finish. Finished under 500.
Now, Peter made the pick for the show against DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Thank God he did.
And I want you to listen to this exchange that took place about 5:55 on Friday.
Go ahead.
This is Peter talking to Dave Rothenberg.
The L.A. Rams to beat Dave's Giants on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
I got to tell you, and I'm very honest with the Giants. When you guys had me on last week, I said I thought the Dallas was clearly better and would overwhelm the Giants. Remember, I was honest about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's a terrible pick. I really do. I'm not kidding. I think the Giants will lose. I think the Giants cover the number.
You know what the number is now?
What is it? Is it down to 8.5 now?
Down to 8.5. Down to 8.5.
Yeah. Listen.
Did you really think he didn't know?
I think – stop it, Don. I think the Giants will keep it within a one-score game. I see like a 27-20 kind of loss for the Giants this week. I think
just promise me this, everyone. Just promise me this. If it's a blowout on Monday, Michael, promise we can replay that entire segment that just happened.
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not? Promise fulfilled.
Wow. Yeah.
You really made him look like a real doofusoid.
And again, that didn't include the part where he also picked Cleveland as their show pick. And, of course, I had Arizona as my two-point pick.
Well, you know what? You owned him. That's what you did, Peter. You owned him.
Well,
in
this case, both picks were clear and decisive.
Right. You got up in his fields and owned him.
Yeah.
Did you get nervous at all on the Hail Mary at the end of the half in Cleveland? Even though they were still way down, did you think that might turn the tide?
Didn't even know it happened, Don.
Okay, well, there you go. I guess it didn't bother you.
Ignorance
is bliss.
I was watching other games, just keep my eye on the score, and felt every time I saw it, oh, it's still 23-14.
I was watching other games, too, but they do alert you.
Do you believe that Dave is embarrassed by this? Or is he incapable of embarrassment?
Or would he be like Don and say he'd pick it again, perhaps?
Well, the worst thing is, I don't know if you guys would agree, you could either... You know, say, yes, Michael, you're right, or yes, Michael, you're wrong. The worst thing is to not know the team you love, to be ignorant about your team.
That's
and he had it so wrong.
Oh. No.
One score game, that's if one score is worth 30 points.
No, but that's all right. Where he made his mistake was saying that's a terrible pick.
Right.
Like, he could have said, I disagree. I think the Giants are going to find a way to stay in this game. A different, like, throw some logic. He just went, he called Peter out. That's a terrible pick.
Peter, I'm giving you a chance now. Swing from the rim and let out a scream. You deserve it. You
no,
earned
I
it.
Wouldn't do it, Peter.
Do it,
I'm
Peter.
I'm still number one.
Because you could be Dave next week. You don't know.
That's the thing. I try to take all of this in stride. Am I enjoying the fact that the number one thing I get from people is Peter doesn't know sports. He's an idiot. He doesn't know sports. Doesn't know sports. And then I have
to
have the
other. Who are these people that speak like this?
I don't know. And then I have to have hosts from the other shows continue that narrative. So then it's like one thing that, you know, I won last year. And, of course, the last 10 weeks of last season was a pretty epic run. Now we're off. We're through 6 weeks here. And I'm playing well.
When do you get the picks from Bob?
I don't get the picture, Bob. I've barely even communicated with Bob. Bob and I, we talked.
Bob.
We chatted about the Tyson Fury fight last week. We haven't talked football at all.
Uh-huh. Sure. You're getting them from somebody because you don't know the sport that well.
Andrew, can you jump? Andrew, are you there for a second?
I'm here, yeah.
Have you not listened to me at 5:30 work through the picks in live time with you right there?
Why are you using Andrew?
Because he hears me talking myself through it.
So you're talking to yourself.
I will say to Andrew, hey, Andrew, how do you like Philly this week? He'll say, we did this, we did that. I'll go, okay. And hears me.
Don, these picks should be disqualified.
Mine.
Go ahead.
Because he's getting help from Andrew.
Andrew's an Eagles fan.
But everybody's getting help.
I'm not.
You just gave this. No, everybody gets help. You just complimented Jimmy the Greek last week about how he knew Truman was going to win because
he did research.
No,
he had people
outside
and
talked to people.
And
he hired somebody to go outside the poll to find out what, since 52% of the voters were women, that women liked Truman, and they were going to convince their husbands to vote for Truman. He did the work, but he still had to ask people. We all
right.
get
Andrew,
help.
Andrew is my Truman woman.
Yeah.
I know he's an Eagles fan, so I'm curious to ask the fan base. It was for the Panthers game a couple weeks ago. I wanted to pick the Panthers.
Something's fishy.
Andrew said, oh, I don't know, man. I think we could play well this week. And I went, really?
When we come back,
sure,
we are going to hear from Joe Judge. Because I'll give you a little preview. Everything's going to be fine, Giant fans. Everything's going to be fine.
I'm good.
So you don't want to hear from Joe?
No, I'll listen, but I don't care.
You don't care what Joe says?
No.
How about the name that Orlovsky has given Joe?
What was that?
What was it again, Anthony?
Isn't it Timmy Toughnuts?
Timmy Toughnuts, he's called them. And it's taking off on social media.
Wait, Orlovsky?
He called them
that?
Timmy Toughnuts on Get Up. And Ryan Clark almost peed himself.
I think
Wait,
I'm going to.
Orlovsky said that?
He called, oh, you can't be Timmy Toughnuts if you're going to win. If you're not going to win. You're going to lose the team if you're. He said Timmy Toughnuts at least four times.
I'm glad we know where Dan stands right now. He has set a target. He wants to be the next. He's football Stephen A. He wants to be football Stephen A. That's where Timmy Toughnuts.
That's really good. I like that.
We'll hear from Timmy Toughnuts when we get back right here on the show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Andrew is my Truman woman.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, welcome back to the show, everybody. The Giants with a desultory loss to the Rams. There's really nothing good that you could take of it, and there's a lot of questions, too. That you just wonder, why did they play this way? Why did the defense not at all rebound after their defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham, called them out? And after the game yesterday, Joe Judge with the, we're going to give 100%, we're going to play for 60 minutes, I'm going to look at people, look at the tape, I'll look at the film, blah, 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 I'm going to decide who quit, who didn't. These guys don't quit, which I don't understand why that's a badge, that should be a badge of honor. It should be a scarlet letter if you do quit. If you don't quit, well, those are kind of the rules of engagement. So, Joe Judge, who our very own Dan Orlovsky has christened Timmy Toughnuts. Well, why don't you listen to Dan Orlovsky when he said this on Get Up today?
At home, at some point, you got to play a good football game. Let me say this, okay? Players in the locker room don't like Timmy Toughnut coaches when you're losing football games. Timmy Toughnuts from Joe Judge.
Yeah.
And you're losing football games.
Yeah.
And your quarterback goes, everybody on your team is hurt. You're down 38-3 at half or at the end of the game. Your quarterback is still in the game with like 2 minutes to go, and he's taking shots when everybody on your team is hurt. Like, this is just a disappointment by the Giants.
The best dad joke you ever told.
Now, I got a question. Is Timmy Toughnuts related to Ollie Onions? I mean, they have to be in the same family, right?
I never heard of Ollie Onions
never
before.
Never did.
Had you heard of Timmy Toughnuts before 5 minutes ago?
No, but it worked. But it worked is the difference.
All right, here is Joe Judge on a conference call today. And he said, he was asked, can you assure Giant fans that it's going to get better?
This is definitely going to get better. So there you go. So I don't know what kind of guarantee they want, but I can assure everyone out there is a Giants fan and they want to know when it's going to turn. I can tell them right now, we're working tirelessly to make sure we get this thing turned in the right direction, not just for short-term results, but for long-term success.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
Some of the stuff is so canned. I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to say to that. Of course, we're going to turn it around. But, I mean, it just comes off as very practiced. And I'll say it again. To be that hard-nosed, you got to have wins to continue to feed the beast. Because if you're going to be that guy and there's no results, you're going to lose that team. Yeah. Because Bill Belichick lost the Browns. Because he's the same guy he is with the Patriots, but there weren't results there. There was 1 year of results, and then – the whole deal with the move to Baltimore. I mean, he lost it, and then he regained it in New England. But Bottom line, if you are going to be Timmy T, you're going to have to get results. And so far, 1-5, two straight seasons.
But I'm not even sure that stuff works anymore. You know, football, in its essence, is just out-scheming the opposition. Like, they're all talented. That's why I don't get caught up in all these injuries. You know, if you do the right things and you've got the talent, then it's you against me. Why do you think, with everything that we know about the Cowboys and Patriots, why the Cowboys were only a 3-point favorite in New England yesterday? Why do you think that was? That was Vegas saying, we believe Bill Belichick's a better coach than McCarthy, and we think that's going to play out on the field. And for the most part, it did. Now, the Cowboys were more talented, and they're a better team, and they won the game. That's not surprising, but it stayed competitive because Bill doesn't get embarrassed. Bill's going to be able to come up with schemes and ways to slow you down, and that's what he does. And that's what the Giants are trying to figure out to do. So it's not some crazy speech, because all the coaches make them, Michael. They all make the speeches. They all have the tough guy persona, and the ones that out-scheme the opposition win, and the ones that don't lose, and they lose their job. So let's get the scheme and let's get the developing. You can't get a pass rush? Find one. Find one. There are teams that don't have Pro Bowl edge pass rushers that still manage to get pressure on the quarterback. Not every team has a Donald on it. Scheme. Scheme a way to be able to get Barkley loose. Scheme a way to score some points. And right now, I think this team has been dramatically outcoached by everybody that they played so far this year. And that's got to change.
Yeah, there's very little good about yesterday. Now, I'm going to wade into a part of the ocean that I'm terrified to wade into because it always gets a different reaction, and it usually gets a visceral reaction. So yesterday, after the game, Leonard Williams talked about the boos from the fans, and this is what Leonard said.
Did the boos bother you? Did you feel like they won the last day or should have been booing you guys?
I mean, they do bother me, honestly. Obviously, we're in our own home stadium. I don't want to be hearing boos from our own fans. I understand that they have a right to, you know, be upset as well because they're coming to see us put, you know, good football on the field. And, you know, we haven't been winning up to date. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't like that.
Well, nobody likes to get booed, but here's the deal. There's sometimes that I think that boos are not warranted, like in the first week when Giancarlo Stanton became a Yankee, in the first 2 weeks when Francisco Lindor became a Met. But, you know, he went on to say, you know, you don't go to a salesman, and if they're doing a bad job, boo them. But you're not paying the salesman, like, $400 to watch him sell. So I truly believe, and Don, you're more of a Giant fan than any of us here. I don't think they were booing players. They're booing the situation. They're probably booing Mara. I mean, they're booing the fact that they're going to be bad again, that they're 1-5 again. The startling thing to me, and this is what gets attention of owners, they had a celebration at halftime of the 10-year anniversary of the last Super Bowl champion, and 20,000 people left before the celebration. Because the Rams scored 28 points in the second quarter. The last thing that you could have is apathy. And the fans are sick and tired of it. So I'm surprised that Leonard Williams, who has sit back.
Yeah.
He's played New York for 7 years with the Jets and the Giants. What does he think is going to happen?
No, I don't get it. And his analogy was a poor one. If I go in to buy a car and I don't like the salesman, I don't boo them. I take my business elsewhere. I walk out the door. But that's not the way it works with sports fans, especially Giant fans, because this is a part of their lives. You know, do these players think that we sit around on Sunday, have breakfast, and go, oh, what do you want to do today, guys? Oh, let's go to the park. Maybe we'll go to a movie. You know, let's go buy tickets to the Giant game. That's not the way it works. All right? These are tickets that are handed down generation to generation. The people that were booing, their father and mother were Giant fans, and probably their grandparents were Giant fans, and it's a part of their family. It's what they do. They tailgate before the game, probably takes them 3 hours to get home from a game at home, and they've seen over the last 5-plus seasons a 9-26 team at home. They're paying PSLs, which means they pay for the right to pay for tickets. Damn right they've got the right to boo. They got the right to boo because they've paid for it, and they got the right to boo because what they've seen is absolute garbage. And Leonard Williams should know better.
Yeah, he's only going to get himself in hot water with fans. Now, he didn't say anything outrageous. I don't like being booed. Well, yeah, no one likes it. But he also made a gesture to the crowd, too. It wasn't the Baez Lindor gesture, but he kind of said like he was sick and tired of the booing. Well, like he moved his hands like and moved them forward as if to stop.
What are we supposed to do? What kind of reaction do you want?
I mean, they're not going to cheer that what's going on the field right now. They're not.
And the thing is that they're with you because they still continue to show up. Right?
And when they don't show up, they bought the tickets.
But they buy the tickets, but it's not like Jacksonville where they're putting, you know, a tarp up on the upper deck and lower.
There are people there.
The fans care, all right? And they're showing their dissatisfaction with the product on the field. And then when they like it, they cheer. Now, that might seem fraudulent, but to me, I don't think it's fraudulent at all. They appreciate what they see. And if they don't like what they see, they boo. And when they like what they see, they cheer. And that's the way it works here. This is not college, all right? This isn't a participation trophy where you're just always supposed to sit in your seat till the end of the game and cheer for everything that happens and never boo. Like, I was not a booer. I don't want to get into that conversation again. We all agree you have the right to boo, but you don't think this team deserves to get booed?
And here's the thing that I would tell.
9-26 at home? Another losing season?
19-51 since 2017. Now, this is a team that's trying. They haven't been tanking to get drafted. 19-51. You know what that is, everybody? That's the worst record in the NFL. That's worse than any team. Worse than Jacksonville. Worse than anybody. Well, and they're trying to win.
And well, yeah. See, that's what makes it worse than anything. You know, if this was year five of a five-year plan, it's one thing. But every year, maybe with the exception of last year, the feeling was going into the year that they were going to be good.
And the money they spent this offseason. It's amazing that they're this bad.
Right. So, like I said, maybe last year because you finally gave the reins to Daniel Jones for the opening day of the season, that Joe Judge was going to be in his first year, that, all right, maybe this is going to be a little bit of a rebuilding year. And that's why we lived with 6-10, Michael. For the most part, I think Giant fans found some good things about last year and that built up the expectations going into this year. But 17, 18, 19, and this year, we were told with the money they spent, with the players that they drafted, and the general tenor of the team was, we are going to compete for a championship. We're going to go and try to win this division. And look at the records that Yes is showing at home. 2-6, 2-6, 2-6, 3-5, 0-3. They are since, Peter, how about this? Since the 2013 season. They are 26-41 at home. Wow. 26-40, 15 games under 500.
Dear God.
A decade at home.
It's not what you want.
They're repugnant. And let's be honest, yesterday, they were bad in so many ways.
Like, now, the one thing you give them a little bit of a break, though, Peter, they're decimated by injuries. But you can't give them a total break because they were bad before the injuries.
And Don said it earlier. It's so true. I'm sorry. We could go up and down the league, and you'll see a lot of injuries everywhere. And it is pretty bad for them. They're, you know, Galladay, Saquon, there's a lot they're dealing with. Thomas is beat up. I get it. Jones had a lot rough. I understand there's a lot going on with them. But my God, man, that was the team you brought. Right. And was Jones not right? Because Don, he's thrown a lot of he's had some bad picks in his time in New York. The ones he threw yesterday, I didn't even know what he was trying to do with the ball.
No, he looked confused. Listen, I don't want to allow everybody's going from point A to point B. Well, he obviously shouldn't have been cleared, and this was all from the concussion. Hey, the doctors cleared him. He played, and on the first drive, he looked great. And then it all kind of fell apart, really, once they hit the red zone. This team can't score touchdowns in the red zone. It's ridiculous. 60% of the time, they're settling for field goals. It's one of the worst teams in the league. And last year, and now it probably will end up being the worst after the way they played yesterday in the red zone. And listen, guys, Geno Smith went to Pittsburgh, and they lost in overtime. Team lost Russell Wilson, and they almost beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. So I don't want to hear about injuries, okay? It happens. But as Michael said, it wasn't like they were burning it up offensively when everybody was healthy, and they're still 1-5, and they're on their way to what? Take a look at the schedule. Or maybe you beat the Panthers. I don't know. The Panthers seem to be in a little bit of a crisis mode here.
And their coach actually said Sam Darnold has to play better, although I thought he played pretty well down the stretch.
I'll tell you, I can't say I watched every play of that game, but there were dropped passes left and right, and that was a money drive and a two-point conversion to tie that game and send it to overtime. So that was a bad game. He threw a couple of picks, but those last couple of drives I thought he was money. But still, you know, they're going to be an underdog in their own building again. The Carolina Panthers are in crisis mode right now. Their coach called out their quarterback, and they're probably going to be a two or three-point favorite at MetLife. And then, you know, Kansas City, Vegas, Tampa. Oh, my. They're on their way. This is, at best, what, a 6-11 season?
At best. Boy, if they get to 6-11, right. I think they've done some
heavy lifting. Honestly, let's wave the pom-poms a bit, all right? They can beat Philly. They can beat Miami. They can beat Chicago. And they can beat Washington. They can. I'm not saying they will. So that could be four wins in the second half of the season. That's five right there. Maybe they surprise somebody. But, yeah, 5-6 is the high end. In a season where we thought that maybe they could be a 9-win team and maybe compete for the division.
Yeah, it's not good. It just gets worse and worse. It's game time, by the way. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We have a Monday Nighter on ESPN, 8:15. It's Buffalo at Tennessee. Buffalo 4-1, Tennessee 3-2. Maybe people that listen to Sports Talk have noticed, but the baseball playoffs have been great. So Houston and Boston 1-1 in this best of seven. 8:08 start. You could see it on FS1. We have the Ranger game tonight, right, Don?
That's right.
So who are they playing?
Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto.
So there you have it. And our pregame show starts at 6:30 with game time at 7. Also, the Kraken tomorrow are in Jersey. How about that? That's exciting, right?
Yeah, they got off to an okay start with a 1-1.
That's good enough. And what's wrong with the Islanders, Don? What's wrong with them?
Goaltending. Give up 11 goals in two games. Now, listen, the two teams they lost to, Carolina and Florida, are two of the best teams in the league. But still, six goals and five goals. It was a 6-4 loss, a 5-1 loss. Not good. Not the kind of start you want. But the goaltending has not been great. Sorokin, I believe, started both games and has not been good. But it's early.
It is early.
It's early, Michael.
That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. I want to call in Andrew very quickly. So I'm following the Ben Simmons situation very closely, Andrew.
Well, hey there.
So today he was practicing in sweats, and you could see in his pocket was his cell phone.
Yeah.
And then when the team got together at the end, put their hands together and, you know, go Sixers, whatever, he didn't do that and just walked into the locker room. This is a powder keg ready to explode.
It's got to be the most uncomfortable locker room in the NBA right now. Although maybe it's not, because I almost feel like the whole team is kind of unified against him, possibly. Mm. So maybe they are actually more together because he's kind of like, for lack of a better term, a common enemy in the locker room. So I don't know, but it doesn't feel good. And it feels like even though he's back, they still – they can't let up on however aggressive they've been trying to trade him. They got to get him out of here.
Hmm.
I tell you what, he came back with his tail between his legs, though.
Yeah.
I'm not playing ever again for the Sixers. Well, he didn't. All of a sudden, he realized, you know what? They're not going to trade me, and I don't want to give this money up. It's an ugly situation.
Players. But I like Andrew's thinking, though, because that maybe brings them together.
Their hatred of one. Oh, that's what you guys do. You all hate me.
That's right. What?
We're unified, but I wouldn't say it's behind hate.
We're unified in tolerating you.
Unified in tolerance. By the way, the Giants getting four Sunday.
They're getting four. Okay.
They're a four-point dog in their own building against the teams that coach called.
Andrew's seeing three.
I'm going by my guy, Anthony Pusick, who texted me.
So you guys working against each other here, Andrew? Pusick's giving one thing, you're giving another?
The website we use is -3. I'm looking at it right now.
And Anthony, where'd you get yours?
What's the line going to be for that game? Carolina -4? Maybe I should have been a little clearer. I didn't know.
You got to be careful, Anthony. This is a learning moment for you.
How about for you? He had a question mark.
But when texting hosts on the air, you can't expect to be able to have their full attention while they're on the air.
It's a very
fair worse?
Point.
What's worse, this or
so
or
when
cut
I ask
paste?
A question, what's the line going to be for that game? Carolina minus four, that was good enough for me. But he's right. Now looking at it a second glance. But we're working in real time here. So I think this is a teaching moment for Anthony. I'm an Anthony supporter.
Peter, but, am I wrong to say that he's been on edge today?
Who, Don?
Yeah. This is prime Don right now.
Well, I mean, listen, he was on edge earlier when he said
he used his backside twice, yeah.
What is Giants football my ass?
Yeah, that's not right. You can't say it. I don't think you can say it on the radio.
I flush it. Can.
I said it twice. And just can't. Third time's a charm. It's like Beatles.
Wait, Michael, are you going to kill off that drop now because you think it's inappropriate? Oh,
no. It's up to Andrew, but I know that people heard it on Yes because Yes doesn't have a delay, so he could say what he wants.
Was I dumped for that?
It wasn't dumped. The A word's
not
a dump.
Ask Andrew.
You live in Mayberry?
It was not. It was not dumped, no.
You know, I wouldn't mind living in Mayberry, although Thelma Lou just passed away. Did you see that, Don?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, 95 years old.
Worst show on television.
Oh, you're
a
clown.
I gave it another shot a couple of weeks ago because Nancy stumbled upon this like new television station that's got like I Dream a Genie and Bewitched. And I'm like, this show, how did they not pull the plug like 10 minutes in? It is god-awful in every
– You're
and you know what's another one that's right up there among the worst television ever made?
What?
Green Acres. More garbage.
All right, let's take a break before he goes deeper into this break.
Well,
again.
I'm on edge. I'm achy today.
Yeah, I know. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.